Okay, we're up to Perek Chav Gimel. We are up to Pasuk Tes. Be'oznei chisil al tedaber ki yavuz l'secha milecha. Don't speak words of wisdom in the ears of a fool. Foolish people are not interested in hearing words of chachma. They're interested in hearing gossip. Gossip, lashon hara, achilus, and all of those terrible things. So again, the very simple pasuk in the ears of the kseil al tadaber, do not enter. Kiyavus, they will despise. L'seichel milecha, they will despise the wisdom of your words. In other words, don't confuse me with the facts. People like to believe what they want to believe. Unfortunately, that's the way the world is. Pasuk test in the Mesudas Tavit, al tadaber ma. Don't speak words of chokhmah in the ears of the kesil ki lechesaron das. They are anti-intellectual. It will be considered ki lechesaron dato due to the lack of his intellect. Yivazem amorecho hanemorim behaskel. He will despise your words that are said with great wisdom. There is no rash in this pasuk. Let's go to pasuk yud. Now this pasuk, this idea we had before, and I don't know why for whatever reason it's repeated. The same theme is repeated a second time. Al taseg gevul oilam uviste yisaimim al tavo. Do not trespass. Or taseg means do not push back. Do not push back the gevul, the boundaries olam that have been established from time immemorial. And in the field of the orphans, al tavo, do not enter. Let's first see the mitzvah pasuk yud. Al taseg al tachzir la'achar. We learned this last week. Do not push back. The boundary has been established in a certain border. Don't, when no one is watching, take that boundary and push it further back to expand your boundary and to minimize the boundary of your friend. Simnagvul hanaseh me'olam, that has been made from, that has been established from before. Lakachasma megvul reyecha, to take part of the property of your neighbor for yourself. Rashi, then the pasuk concludes, first finish the Mesudas, and do not enter into the boundary, into the field of the Yasam, Al Tavo. Liksar Tavuasam Liatzpah, do not enter into the field of the Yasam to take the harvest for yourself. Bechoshvacha She'ein Le'el Yadam Lamor L'Mulach, and you'll make a mistake and think the reason why I can take their food, I can harvest their crop, is because they are an easy target. No one is coming to their defense. They cannot afford security, and the government is not interested in taking care of the poor. They're an easy target. Therefore, you'll feel that you can do what you want. Rashi pasuk yud says, "Stay yisamim beleket shikhu peya haroy lohem." According to the opinion of Rashi, something very, very different. It means that it's in your own field. Uvistay yisamim al tavo means the yisamim is a very powerful Rashi. That your field is not only your field. Every person who owns property, your property is partially owned by the poor, because the Torah said that the leket, the shikha, and the peya, the single stalks of grain, the leftover bundles, and the undeveloped grapes are the property of the ani. So, and where are these things growing in your field? Being that it's their property, it's not your field, it's their field. So here the pasuk says in very strong terms, if you stay yisaimim al tavo, don't go in. Don't take away their property. Don't go into your own field to collect what's really rightfully theirs.
This is two things.
Yeah. Gvul oilam, don't steal property. Okay, so derech pshat. Rashi doesn't say more than this, but derech pshat. There are two separate concepts. One concept is do not steal someone else's property. It's not telling you specifically if the person is rich or poor. You may have a very wealthy neighbor. You may have a very wealthy neighbor. You still have no right to take away his property. That's taseh gvul oilam. And then there's a second concept of stay yisrael al tavo. Don't steal from the poor. Oh yes, so there Asher Gavlu, there right there the pasuk was different. There Al Taseg Asher Gavlu. Okay, so what do you want to say? So there we focused on Minhagim. There in that pasuk is where Chazal emphasize.
He doesn't care about his. But he says, don't do it.
Right, and that pasuk before, I'll pasuk, v'olam asher gavlu avosecha, When it said we are Gavla Vasech, specifically where Chazal focused on the concept of Minhagim. Because it added the emphasis, Asher Gavla Vasech, they have been established by your forefathers. Okay, here it just says, Al Tasei Gavullah. Now this is a very important Medrash. The Medrash says something very interesting. It says that the entire Pasuk from the context is dealing with the poor people. The end of the Pasuk clearly says, it was Stei Yisemim Al Tvo, do not enter into the field of Aviyasim. But the beginning of the Pasuk does not specify that we're dealing with the poor yet. The word Olam, we had this idea before, a little bit different. Olam really can be read Olim. Olim means to go up. Going up means to ascend. And it would simply refer to people that are very choshev. But here it's used as a euphemism for the very poor. In other words, a person that's very poor, you see someone who went down. Yardu min chasav. The way Chazal describe a person who lost all his wealth is yardu, he descended. When you lose money, it's called making a descent. Oylim means oyla ligadula. Haman was oyla ligadula. Mordechai at the end of the meal was oyla ligadula. When you go up, it's called oyla. Going down, losing money, it's called yareid. So here it says, al taseg, do not trespass, gvul oylam. Al tikri, it's a two-step drasha. First, al tikri olam, ela oylim. Don't trespass the boundary of the oylim, of the people who are on the ascent. And here when it says ascent, it's not to be taken literally. It's a euphemism. Don't, like a saginar. Someone who's blind is someone that has a lot of light. It's just the opposite. He has no light. Here as well, oylim means the destitute. Don't trespass the property of the destitute. That's how the Medrash interprets, and that fits very well. We have the destitute, and then we have the assayman. Both of them have the common denominator, the common theme of being extremely poor and vulnerable and serving as an easy target for exploitation. So that's how a very interesting interpretation of oylim, olam oylim, lashon saginah. Okay, now there's just another quick little another idea. The Pasuk says, a mistake, you know, it doesn't say, there's something different. Let's leave that aside. Okay, now there's another important drasha. This is a Yerushalmi. This is a Yerushalmi, and it's quoted every so often when you come across this. A halacha is a man is not allowed to marry a woman who's pregnant or a woman who has a nursing child. A woman typically nursed a child in Chazal's opinion for 2 years. For 2 years, so a man lechatchila should not marry a woman who has a child that's less than 2 years old from another man. Why? Because it's a very real possibility that if he will marry her, she will become pregnant very right away, because he's marrying her to have children, seemingly. And then he'll have another child. And then the woman's not, she's going to have to stop nursing the first child. A woman who's pregnant, so she needs to devote herself for the next 2 years to the child that she's pregnant with. Even if she has a child that's within 2 years, she has to take care of that child. If she's now going to marry another person, and he's going, and they're going to have another child, that's going to cause her to stop nursing the first child. And that child, now it's not like in the ancient times where it's like today. Today there's formula and there's all these other techniques, but in ancient times there's no formula. And if the only source of nourishment for a child is the mother, and if the mother is not going to nurse, the child is in a real sakana, the child may die. So here the pasuk is addressing a man, a bachelor, or an almoin that has his eyes on a almana or a grusha that happens to be pregnant or has a child, a young child, and it says, Al tase gavul oylam. The first half means a woman who is pregnant. Don't trespass the Gvul Oilon. Okay, it's symbolic. It's symbolic of someone else's boundary. The child that's in the mother's womb is in need of nourishment. And if this man's going to marry her, there's a possibility that nourishment will come to an end.
Rabbi, can you generalize that? It's a married couple, they have a little baby, they should...
No, because the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara and the Bible asked the question because you own, you'll always take care of. You'll buy. A father, if he has an infant, that's one day old, is allowed to immediately have another child, because if his wife stops nursing, it's the baby is his child. He's going to guarantee the baby has what to eat. He will go to the store and buy milk for the baby, or hire a nurse, a wet nurse. But if it's someone else's child, I don't care. It's not my child. A man marries this woman to have his own children. She comes with children, with her own baby. It's not my baby. I don't care. So now you're pregnant, you're not nursing anymore, or whatever, whatever. Too bad. Go on welfare, food stamps, WIC. It's not my problem, because it's not his biological child. When it's his own biological child, then there's no issue whatsoever. The Gemara asks you a question very well. But here the Gemara applies the idea to this pasuk. The two parts of the pasuk, al tasik v'lulam v'stei yisayim v'altava, the first part is a woman who's pregnant, and the second part is a woman who has a child. Okay, let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudal, ki go'alam chazuk. Now the pasuk describing over here of the yosam, uvistei yisaimim al, do not enter into the property of a yosam. Okay, ki goyalam chazak, because Hashem, the goyalam, the Redeemer, their Redeemer is strong. Who yarev eshivam itach, he will take up their fight. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the defender of the yisaimim. A yasam is vulnerable. The most vulnerable time is when the property passes, when there's a vacuum, and the property has to pass down to the next, to the yisaimim. They're vulnerable that it will be taken away from them if a person goes and takes advantage of this. At this time, watch out. Ki goyalam chazak hu yariv rivam. The goyalam chazak, their redeemer is strong, and he will take up their quarrel. Let's see pasuk Yud-Aleph. Pasuk Yud-Aleph is ki goyalam chazak im hema. Even though it appears to you that they are tishushay koyach, yosayim is vulnerable. Haloi Hashem, Agoyaloi Sam Huchazak, Hashem who redeems them is very strong. Huchazak Vuhu Yarevimach Esrivam, he will take up their quarrel. He will fight their cause. Okay, Rashi. There is no Rashi. Okay, let's take a look at. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis, yeah.
Just point out that on a national level, it's true. Well, you say on Hanukkah,
Yeah. And
we say, Harav
es rivein. Harav es, okay.
So we have the concept that though we are orphaned among our nation, is orphaned among the nations.
Uh-huh. Hashem. And what about Hanukkah?
Battles.
And what were you saying about Hanukkah? What was... Danto esti namaha. Okay. That's an interesting idea. You touched upon something that I saw recently. Okay, the noise is pretty rough today, huh? Battlefield.
We should move upstairs.
Maybe we should. It's not a joke. Maybe we should. We ask. What? Let me ask. Excuse me. There's the contract. Maybe we should go upstairs.
That's what you're hearing.
Alright, you reminded me of something interesting. The miracle of Purim took place through Esther. And the Megillah goes through the effort of telling us ki ain law of what? Ki ain law of oim. Now, everything in the Megillah that's met, every pasuk is telling you a major yisod about the miracle, about the story. Okay. If the Megillah would not have said that Esther, Ein lo avo aim, there are many midrashim that would fill in that gap, right? The fact fact that the Megillah goes through the effort and says Ki Ein Lo Avo Eim is exactly this point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the miracle of Purim from Hashem's perspective was Hashem was saving a nation that was an orphan. After the Churban Beis Hamikdash, this took place in between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, Klal Yisrael was together a Yosan, homeless nation. We were in Golas, we were homeless. There was no one looking out for our welfare. A Yosam is vulnerable. In the Mela, this contributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to save us, because, like it says in this pasuk, Ki Goralam Chazak Hu Yoriv Es Rivam Itach. A Yosam has a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Next pasuk Yudbeis. Havia la musa libecha, the aznecha leimrei doas. A person shall bring his heart to Musa, and your ears you shall bring to hear words of knowledge. You have to read the words backwards. Bring your heart, havia libecha. Bring your heart la musar, and the aznecha, bring them to Imre. That's that we can read in order. Let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk Yudal, Mitzvah's David Havia. Hachna libicha, humble, bend your heart, l'shmoya el ha-musar, to musar, v'oznecha, v'goymer, and your ears, you shall bend to, you shall bring, you have to, I guess you have to take the word Havia and repeat it a second time. Bring your ears to hear the words of Das. There is no Rashi. Okay, let's go to Pasuk next. Pasuk Yudimul al timna minar musar, okay, this is a theme that the Shlomo said many times. Make sure you beat your children. Make sure you hit them. He says it, okay? He says it many times. Do not withhold from the Nar Musar. Musar means chastisement. It means corporal punishment. It means real, something physical. If you, why? Now the different interpretations of this pasuk, the simple interpretation is Kisakenu Bashevet, if you'll hit him now and he'll suffer a little discomfort, you'll save him from death. Lo yamos. If you don't hit a child and you let him do whatever he wants, he will ultimately, he will slide down the slippery slope and ultimately commit the worst averos and will be chayiv misa, will die. But if we give him a little musr will prevent him from getting worse and worse, and that will prevent him from, it will protect him from the future. Okay. What? Well, in this generation it is. Today, absolutely. Today, if you hit your child, you go to jail. Don't pay a skull. They do still. I'm not so sure about that anymore. It's not so simple in Hasidic yeshivas. Times have changed for them also. They're under a lot of scrutiny. What?
Could also extend to verbal discipline.
Okay, in Echnai, but look at the mitzudas. You're right. That's possible. Musar does not necessarily mean right. Okay. Doesn't that necessarily, but the most mefarshim are tied to musar in the context of this pasuk to mean the mean physical punishment. Let's look at the mitzudos. Musar, hakosh shevet musar means to hit. Okay, it means over here the way the mitzudos David translates, again, it's only one of many perushim. He says it means actually physical corporal punishment. Hakosh shevet musar ki sakenu. Now here's the key word how he explains pshat im sakenu bashevet. If you will hit him today with a shevet, halo lo yomus bezeh. So this is how he learns. I told you another interpretation. It's not no big deal. Hitting him with a shaver, you're not going to kill him. Don't think, a parent may want to withhold hitting his child because he's afraid he's going to kill him. You're not going to kill him. Giving a little hit, a little smack in the face is not going to take his life. So don't hold back. Okay, that's all he says. Now, let's just read one more pasuk. Pasuk Yidan, and we'll explain the Medrashim. Atah, Shlomo goes on to say, Atah, you, the father, Bashevet Takenu, you shall hit him with the Shevet, V'navshay Mishol Tatzil, by doing so you will save his Neshama from the grave. It's pretty much the same thing, the theme that it said in the previous pasuk. It's an instruction. You shall hit him with the Shevet, and you shall save his Neshama from entering Gehenim. from going down, so it could be interpreted on a very similar level, is by giving a child musar, you're saving him from death in this world and from Gehenim in the next world. The first pasuk Yud Gimel talks about Lo Yomus, he will not die in this world. And the second pasuk talks about his neshama not entering Sheol, entering into Gehenim. All of this can be avoided with a little musar. A little musar, which it says here with a shavit. Musar, and he also says shavit. Let's see pasuk Yud Gimel Yudal in the Mitzudim, the pasuk Yudal in the Mitzudos. Ata, hine ata tetzarene be'akah hashevet. You shall cause him pain with the rod of the shevet. Uvezet tatzilu min ashol, you will save from the grave. Ki yichsha masaf mutov loitzar hashev mitzar hashol, because his ways will get better. Ki yachsha masaf, by hitting him a small amount, his ways will get better. Mutov loitzar hashev mitzar hashol, and it's better for him to suffer the tsar of this musar now than to suffer the tsar of the grave that will come to him at a later point in time. Okay, that's the mitzvah, the pashup shad. Now, there are a number of midrashim. And the midrashim, first shachi medrash is, this pasuk was addressed, these two psukim were addressed to Shmuel. We know that Shmuel had two sons. Who are his two sons? Chofni u'Pinchas.
No.
Eli. Eli HaKoyin. He had two sons, Chofni u'Pinchas, and they were not following in the ways of Hashem. Now, it's not exactly clear what they did. Something along those lines. With the pitchfork. They took their portion before the Umakte. They were Makte. They moved him on the Mizbech. They already took their portion that they were entitled to eat. They were too aggressive in their Avoida.
They made the women wait.
They took the money for their Korbanos, and the women did not trust that the Korbanos would be offered until the offer, so they waited around until the next day. And by doing so, they denied their husbands having marital relations, which prevented them from having more children. So it's considered adultery. The pasuk is a very harsh term. It's not mamash adultery, but that's the way the Torah describes it. Eli gave them musar. And here, how did he give them musar? Light. He gave them a slap on the wrist. He said, Albonai, don't do this. Albonai. Ki lo toiva hashmu asher ani shamei alechem. It's not good. The report, it's not good. And Drudge report doesn't say such good things. The headlines are not good. But the pasuk here, Shlomo is giving ala osid, is giving them that's not enough. Eli should have went and done a lot more. He should have taken out a whip and whipped them, even though they were mature men. Or he should have, I don't know, suspended them. They should have been removed from their position, or temporarily, without pay. What's it called? Suspended without pay. There should have been some significant punishment. Just to say Al Bonai is not enough. This is the words of the Medrash. The word, I'll read you the words. Very interesting Medrash. It's in the Medrash Agod Aspirations. Dover Acher Hischil Omer Lohem. Eli said to his sons Chofni u'Pinchas, Al Bonai. You're lazy? Shocking words. According to the Medrash, Hashem said to Eli, you're lazy. You're lazy. The Oimer Lohem, the best you can do is say Al Bonai. And that's it? That's the beginning and the end of the Musar. Ushloimo Tzaveach. Shlomo HaMelech, you know what he said about children like yours? Al Timna Minar Musar, Ata, you yourself, the father, it should not be beneath your dignity to take care of these matters yourself. Bashevet Takenu, hit him with the Shevet.
Rebbe, the old Rebbe used to have the stick hanging on the
on the wall.
Say, go get me the stick.
What? Go get me the stick.
So he knew what already.
He knew what's coming.
But you heard the other story. The guy was angry. The son was not his father. His anger happened.
She says, go get me the anger hat. I'm angry. Every time he came back with the hat, he was cool.
Okay, so this is a very interesting... There's also another very powerful musar that the Mepharshim say when it comes to giving musar to your children in the pasuk, it's a very weird pasuk. Atah, or say atah. Atah b'shevet akenu. Giving musar to children is not something you leave to someone else.
You just wait till your father comes home.
Very good. Exactly. It has to be firsthand. The father can't say, I'm going to outsource this role, my fatherly role, to someone in India. He'll take care of giving musa to my children. Ata, you the father, it is your responsibility to give musa to your children, no one else but the father. Bashevet hakenu, v'navshem shaltatzel, and if you'll do so, you'll save them as the sham of the children from the grave. Kepasik tes involves the very famous pasik, b'ni im chacham libecha, yismach libi gamoni. My child, if your heart will be wise, I will also take great joy in your success. Yismach libi, my heart will take joy, gam ani, also me. Pasik tezvav in the mitzudos, im chacham, kasher yechkam libecha, al kisishma amorai. Seemingly according to the mitzudos, this is a continuation. If you'll listen to the musar, if you'll listen to the words that I've spoken to the musar, and you'll take it to heart, amorai ele, these words, hine oz yismach libi gam ani, I have great joy, and kesimchas levavcha, like the joy of your heart, whole sense, umiyadi bolcha hachachma, it is through my efforts, it is through my musar, my guidance, my hadracha, that you have succeeded, therefore I will also derive great joy. Okay, now there are a number of midrashim. What?
The reverse to that.
Yeah?
You don't take the musar, it hurts me more than it
hurts me. Interesting. Doesn't say yes, doesn't say the pasuk, doesn't say, but that's the implication.
Simcha is if you
the simcha. So kol shekein the tsar.
The tsar.
Interesting. There's always more tsar. In this world, there's a lot more tsar than there is simcha. The amount of tsar is infinitely more than there is simcha. You have small moments, a few moments of simcha in your life, and everything else is just a achana to get to those moments of simcha. Okay, but there's a very popular message that when number one is that when Shlomo HaMelech was misaken two mitzvahs, Eruvin, it's not really clear which, simply Eruvin Chatzeros, and Nitilas Yodayim, then a baskel came out from Shemayim, from David, and whatever that means, David says, B'ni, im chacham libecha, yismach libi gamoni, I have great joy. Either Hashem is speaking, or David is speaking, the pasuk is said specifically in reference to these two mitzvahs, Nitilas Yodayim, and Eruvei Chatzeros. And what is the significance of these two mitzvahs? So there are many interpretations on the mitzvos to Rabbanan. Why? What else? Halachas, but there are a mitzvah. Okay, halacha. Who established the halacha? The Rabbanan. So it's a mitzvah that the Rabbanan have given us. It's not a. Okay, I don't know. It's loose tongue. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvah yisav. It's right. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvah yisav. It's Sivan one. It's Hilas Yedayim. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvah yisav al mitzvahs eruv. Eruv echad seruv seruv eitzchumen. Now, why dafka these two mitzvahs? So one simple interpretation is that these two mitzvahs represent an extension, a zihirus in dinim ben adam l'mokoyim and ben adam l'chaveroi. Eruvei Chatzeros represents it's a model, it's a marshal for Chazal's enhancement, an embellishment of mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveroi. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to go. There's a mitzvah to make Eruvei Chatzeros. Why? Chazal encouraged people to socialize. Okay, what would they say about Facebook? Would they encourage you to have a Facebook account? No, I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting idea. Well, Facebook is not necessarily problematic.
Very damaging.
But very damaging, because but the koyach to socialize is a tremendous thing. We don't realize a frum Jew, the social opportunity a frum Jew has is infinitely more than what a goy has. You go to shul every single day. You go to shul on Shabbos. You go to a shir. A frum religious Jew Shabbat Har Mitzvahs has more natural social activity than any non-Jew. Like, unfortunately, I have some people that I know that go to psychologists. They are on medication, go to psychologists, and the non-Jewish psychiatrists, they're very into talking. Into therapy, you have to talk to your psychologist and talk, and you have to talk things out.
And drugs.
What? Yeah. Drugs also. Besides the drugs,
both.
But today the goal is to have both medication and also. But it's extremely. They're very into expressing yourself. And what they don't realize is a lot of the frum people don't do well as well. As the goyim, as the non-Jews, with this these sessions of talking, socializing, and the reason is they don't realize that the frum people already have an enormous opportunities of interaction and social activity. They're dealing with where they go to shul and people, how are you? Just going to shul and getting an aliyah and how are you? And someone looking at you and talking to you. You know what goes on in shul. It's a social event more than davening, and that's the way it is, unfortunately. Maybe
it's not the same as working out.
It's not the same. It's not the same, but it is a social activity. A lot of, unfortunately, people who are mentally ill, they're locked up in the home the whole day behind the television by non-Jews. And they don't talk to them. They talk maybe to a relative. They get a phone call here and there. Someone checks up upon them. And they sink deeper and deeper into their depression. So they need to go to a psychologist, not so much to go talk things out. It's really a social activity for them to have an interaction, a relationship with the person, a professional life. Someone's being paid. So they have an obligation to talk to them, to listen, to interact with them, to help them. But from people, I've seen this. I've seen this firsthand with people that I know. Unfortunately, they go to the doctor, and the doctor is demanding the taivea that they go to a psychologist, and it's a lot of money. And especially one person I know, you know, my father was also involved with this. My father had to raise a lot of money after these organizations. And the big money is not the doctor for the medication. That's also a lot of money. It's a lot of money. The first account, a lot of these big doctors, they don't take insurance. And the first visit can cost even a top doctor, cost even $1,000. And then for maintenance can cost $500. That money, my father was involved, and I know also in Yeshiva there's a certain organization, so you can get the money for that. But then some of these doctors, they want, no, you got to go for therapy. You got to go to the psychologist. I remember one guy that I knew, the yeshiva, Chaim Berlin, they paid for him, I think, over $5,000. And Aaron Schachter had a fund. Tat, his fund.
What are you doing for this yeshiva?
What? He gave, I think, over $5,000. $5,000 for the psychologist. This guy should go to him. And people who were involved were like, what? This is highway robbery. Dvarim b'talim v'talim. And I think we were right in the long run. We were right. This whole thing was a total way. They wanted, so they gave whatever. What are you going to tell the doctor? No, you didn't tell him no. And Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem, the money was available. Today already that part of money is not even so easy to get anymore.
Did it help?
What?
Did it help?
I don't think it helped. I don't think he needed it. He had enough, he comes to yeshiva, he had enough social life, naturally, infinitely more than the stock. And this person, in particular, his problem was really more chemical imbalance, it was more medicine problem. Some people, it's more the social, some people, it's more the medicine. But here the Pasuk says, I saw this in the Sefer, the Divrei Chacham, he says, the mitzvah of Ben Adam Lachavero, the mitzvah of Eruvei Chatzeros, is Chazal's embellishment, that when it comes to mitzvahs, Ben Adam Lachavero, there should be social interaction. And the best time for this social interaction is Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not working, you're not in the field, you're not chopping lumber, you're not drilling people's heads out. So what do you do on Shabbos? You stay home. So, but if I have an Eruv Chatzeros, Eruv Chatzeros, you can make a Kiddush. So then you go. You go. We have even more than, we don't even need, see today we don't even need the Eruv Chatzeros because we have Kiddushim, we have Shuls, we have even, what? Go exactly. Go get it. And lechatchila, you're supposed to do this every Shabbos. We cop, it's a cop out. We only do it once a year, and we don't even do it. We just, one person does it for everyone. The whole thing is totally not the way it was meant to be. It was meant to be an act, a social activity every Erev Shabbos to make a collection. Hello, how are you? Get together. This is Chazal's technique of enhancement. Enhancement. There are mitzvahs in the Torah bein Adam lechavero. Shlomo HaMelech was basically saying, take it seriously. Take advantage of the mitzvahs. And to wake up people, he was mesakein they were v'chatzeros. The tilas yodayim is Shlomo HaMelech's technique of telling people there are mitzvahs in the Torah bein Adam lamokoyim. And you have to take advantage of them, not just, it's more like a chassid, he was a chassid, Shlomo HaMelech. Don't do a mitzvah, a kalta litvach, you just do the mitzvah. You have to have a hachona, cleanliness, nikios, you're washing your hands. Before you do a mitzvah, you clean your hands. It involves a hachona of sanctity before you approach a mitzvah, bein Adam lamakon. So according to the Divrei Chachamim, the reason why these two mitzvahs are so special and deserve this pasuk, which Chazal emphasized over and over, Bini in Chacham Libecha Yitzmach Libi Gamoni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extremely pleased, is because Shlomo, you got it. You got the message. You understand the purpose of Torah is not just black and white. It's not just a book that's munach b'keren zavis. There's life in Torah. And there's life in Torah. You have to embellish Torah. Eruv echatzeros represents Adam lachaveroi. Netilas yodayim represents Adam lamokoyim. Yeah.
The pasuk, you read it. In chocham, if you're smart, Libecha yismach libi gamoni. You will share your pleasure of your libcha with, so that I will also have it. Because what does a chacham have to do with the simcha? Chacham is in the head. If you're a chacham, when you have pleasure, you share your pleasure with other people and tell them, you know, I won the lottery. I just had a.
That's a whole different mahalach. Okay, fine. You should be mu'uv ma'briyos. Okay. Now there's another interpretation. I think it's a more popular interpretation. Why? Specific? Are they going to go the whole day like this? What?
A week.
What are they doing?
They're ripping up the tile in
the tile of the floor.
They are retiling the
shul.
At the entrance, when you come in, there's a green tire. The whole floor is being ripped up.
So that's the drilling. They're ripping it up.
They have to
rip it up.
Because it's pasted.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Putting
that won't be as noisy.
Putting it down won't be any drilling, but now they pull it out.
All right.
If it's possible, if I can arrange with my wife,
we
can get like
word in that one.
Yeah.
Series off in the corner of the room.
You think so?
Would that be okay?
It might be even more noisy there.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, tomorrow we have a guest. What's his name?
Michael. I have to confirm this afternoon.
Okay.
Michael.
Batten. Tillin.
He builds houses tomorrow.
All right, there's another interpretation for this medish, but another interpretation is that there are many people who are bekiim, they're very good bein adam lachaveroi, and there are people that are very good bein adam lamokoyim, but they don't mix. Yeah, people that sit in the Keren Zavis, adam lamokoyim, and they're good askonim, but to be a good bein adam lachaveroi and keep your hands clean, this is a very special mandrega. Now, it can be interpreted different ways. It can be interpreted, Eruvei Chatzeros means there's mingling. There's a lot of mingling. Adam Lachaveroi, Eruvei Chatzeros, you come one among the other. But when you get too friendly with your friend, you have a tendency to take.
to get your hands dirty. You can steal. You have opportunity. When a person is mu'udav, is too close with his friend, there is a possibility that you will have access to steal from your friend. Therefore, you need also to be nizer in netilas yodayim.
Not netilas yodayim.
What?
Not netilas yodayim.
You have to keep your hands clean, even at a time of Aaron. Are you going to close the door? So what? Lock him in.
How much longer are they going to be doing this
drilling? Probably a long day.
It's a long day. Nice rug. Give me a nice rug.
Let him work at night.
Yeah.
You want to pay double?
Are you paying for it?
Yeah.
Again, he just went into my pocket.
That's the end of this conversation.
Okay, the idea here is that a person has to be in Adab Lachaveroi. You have to integrate the two together. Even when a person is mu'uriv in habriyos, eruvei chatzeros, you still have to be able to keep your hands clean. That's a very big nisayon. Okay, there's another medrash on this pasuk. This refers to Nifi Boishas. Nifi Boishas was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. He was the Rebbe of that. There are two Mephiboshethes. People get very confused about this. There's a Mephibosheth, the son of Shaul, the son of Yehoinah's son. It was Shaul's grandson. That was a friend, but that is not the Rebbe of David. David had a Rebbe whose name was two people by the name of Mephibosheth, and this person was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. His name was Mephibosheth. Why was he called Mephibosheth? Mipi Boishas. From his mouth came shame. David HaMelech would sit in his shir and ask questions and would make mistakes. And every time David made a mistake, David was corrected by his Rebbe, and David felt shame. So from the P of this individual came Boishas to David HaMelech. Now David HaMelech, a regular person who's faint of heart, the first time he would be embarrassed and ashamed, would not come back the next day to shear. If the Rebbe ranks you out, you feel embarrassed. You don't want to come back. David's desire to learn was so great, he did not care for his own honor, and he returned every single day. We don't appreciate this, because we don't know what dignity is, we don't have kavod, we don't have shame. But in ancient times, obviously, if Chazal emphasizes, it must have been a very big deal. People had dignity, that's what it appears. And when you are embarrassed, it's unforgivable. The shame, the humiliation is so great, the average person would stay away. Unless the purpose is so great, it's kedai. I was reading an article recently about how the West does not have any asaga of the way things work in the Muslim world. Yeah. And they give different examples. The example is that when in the United States, when the coalition forces come into a home in Iraq, a Muslim home, the rules are, what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to first call out the husband. The Rosh Habayis. You call out the husband, you take him outside, you isolate him, and then you can go into the house with all your weapons and check out the women and children. But it is the unforgivable bezayon for a soldier, for any individual to come into a person's home and hold the husband hostage in the presence of their wife and children. It is unforgivable. The United States didn't know this. They came in, they come to go and check out. Now they know. Now they do it the right way. But when they were coming to search a home for weapons or for terrorists, they come in and everyone put up your hands, husband, wife, children, and the shame, the busha uchlima that these Muslims experienced was noira v'oyim that they'll never forgive the United States the oilam v'oyet. Another thing, they cannot tolerate for a woman soldier to come into a man's house and with a gun and point it at a man is unforgivable busha uchlima. I read this recently. They were describing how we don't have any hasagas. So we don't relate to this. But this is the way it is by them in their mind, in their world, in their culture. That's the way it is. The same thing, you read this chazal, we have no hasaga. Big deal. David HaMelech, he's sitting in shir, and he asks a question, and the Rebbe says, that's a klutz kasha. So to us, it's no big deal. It's a joke. It's a big deal. So even if it's the President of the United States, who will be sitting in the classroom, and he'll ask a question, and someone will make litzanis of him, big deal. It's no big gadul. That's the way we live today. What? What? Pretty much the opposite.
Look at the any little criticism of anybody and everybody.
Any little
criticism. No self-awareness. David HaMelech, he had self-awareness. He knew who he was, and he could stand criticism.
Okay, like we don't relate to the degree of bizayon because we don't understand what it means dignity in their times and who these people were. When David came to Beis Medrash and David was embarrassed because he made a mistake in halacha, the shame was infinitely greater than we could any shame you could have in this world today. That you could take a person and put him online, worse things, that doesn't come near the shame David experienced in making a mistake in halacha in the presence of Mifi Boishas. That's the way Chazal seem to describe this. And now we could appreciate he came back for more. The next day he came back for more Bizyonos. Why did he come back for more Bizyonos? Because this is the only way I'm going to learn Torah. And it's worth it for me. And Chazal give him high scores. They give him the greatest praise for this, and in reward for this, he was zochah to have a son who is called in one place Daniel, okay, not to be confused with Daniel of the Megillah Hasach, Sefer Daniel, and it was called another Sefer Kilav, which means that Megillah, which means that Kiloshna of Kulay Av. Kulay means Kula Av, means that he was just like his father. And Chazal said he was one of the seven people that did not commit an Avera in this world, entered into Gan Eden Shalem, only died because of the chait of the Eitz Hadas. One of the seven people that died. Why was David HaMelech Zocher to this child? Only because he was willing to suffer the humiliation and go to his Rebbe and to suffer by Mifi Boishas. He was called Kilov. Why? So the reason why it's called Kilov was of Machlim. The Chaf and the Lam would have to be short for Machlim. Who? David's Rebbe. David's son was even greater than David's Rebbe. That was the revenge David had for his Rebbe. It's a very, very scary thing. You have a Rebbe that treats you like a... does not treat you very well. And what's the sweet revenge? That you have a son that one day humiliates in a good way the Rebbe. That's really what it said. And this is not so far-fetched. This happens. This happens every so often. You have a Rebbe, and the Rebbe has a Talmud, and then there are years later, and the Rebbe is not so good to the Talmud, or whatever it has, and then years later, the Talmud outdoes... The Talmud's son outdoes the Rebbe. Or what happens is in Shidduchim, the world of Shidduchim, is that the Rebbe has a granddaughter, and the Rebbe's granddaughter is chalashing to be mishadech with his Talmud's. That happens very often. With you have a Rebbe and a Talmud, and the Rebbe and the Talmud do not get along. The Rebbe, the Talmud hates the Rebbe. But then Hashem has a sense of humor. It could happen. I've even seen the situation where the Rebbe wanted that Talmud himself for his own daughter. I've seen that. In elementary school, there was a certain Rebbe in the Talmud. It was very bad blood. Did not go well. The Rebbe and the Talmud, this is in elementary school, in sixth grade, fifth grade, whatever it was. And years later, it almost became a shidduch. They went out. This boy went out with this Rebbe's daughter.
And there's no question about it that the Rebbe wanted the Shidduch very much. And it didn't go. So you see, Hashem has a sense of humor. And this sense of humor started at the time of David. David had the Rebbe Mithi Boishes, who put David down because he was not up to par. And yet, David had a son, Kilov, who was the prize Talmud. Everyone wanted him for a Shidduch. He was one of the people who didn't die without doing an Avera. Yeah.
Well, it's a good question. How come, I mean, is it appropriate to name a Rebbe after an attribute that's clearly negative? Was he embarrassed?
Good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Yes, and really good. Yeah, maybe it was this real name. Yeah, that's a
slang.
That's a very general question. Who was the real name? We had a lot of people.
Because
the Baal is a bit Moshe's. Even that, what was the real name? You have Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did the Torah select Moshe from all the various names that he had?
Because she put them
out. Okay, so that's discussion. So that's one example of many. But the name in the Tanakh is a lot deeper.
Yeah, there are birth names and there are other names.
The name you make, face of Chazal say a person has three names. The name
is full of those things.
The name you're born with, the name your parents give you, the name that your friends give you, and the name you make for yourself. Three names. Very popular medrash. Okay, so let's go further. So this is the basic medrash of Bini. Now there's another very interesting idea. We have a general rule that a father loves a child. A person is jealous of every individual except for his son. The only one a person is not jealous of is his own son. So the question over here is, why is it necessary for the pasuk to say over here, "Bini im chacham lidecha yismach li bigamani"? We don't need the chokhmah, even if the child will not achieve chokhmah. It is natural for a father to love his son. By the way, who has more love, a father for a son or a mother for a son? Who has more love? We said it today. Kirachim of al banim, kein tirachim. I think of Chaim Kanievsky says that even though it would appear that a mother has more rachmanis on a son, Chazal say that a father does. It's not as apparent on the outside, but Chazal indicate that the love a father has for a son is even greater than the love a mother has for a son. That's what Chaim Kanievsky says, because the pasuk only says kirachim. When we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to have rachmanis upon us, we ask kirachim of al banim. So the question here is, why is it necessary for the pasuk to say yismach libi gamon, I will rejoice, the father will rejoice in the son no matter what becomes of him? So the answer is, it means an extra special dosage. It means it's not an ordinary simcha. It's a simcha that is beyond words. It's a simcha that's not natural. One thing, a father has a child, whatever the child accomplishes, whatever the child does, the father will love him. That's a natural love. But if the child will be a chacham, the child will be a talmid chacham, will study chachma, then yismach libi gamoni, there will be an additional love, a more intense love. Another drash Chazal make on this pasuk is an emphasis on the word gam. Gamoni means also me, meaning the one, the primary one who's going to show love, is going to have pleasure, joy, will be the Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu having love, gamoni, David says, Shlomo says, the father will also have a special love. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Tezayin. Tezayin Vat Haloizna Chil Yosoi Bidaber Sifasechem Neisharim. This continuation, the father is speaking, Shlomo is speaking, that my kidneys will have delight. Aliza. Aliza means joy. Vesaloizna Chil Yosoi, my kidneys will have joy. Bidaber Sifasechem Neisharim, when you speak with words of wisdom. Words are upright. Let's see over here. Mitzubas Pasuk Tezayin Bidaber. Be'ez Yidabu Sifasechem Neisharim. Liyasha Oid Es Hazulos. When you speak with words of uprightness, to make straight. Liyasha Oid Es Hazulos. To straighten out other people. That's how the Meisharim means. That seems to interpret is that when you, my child, will go in my way, just like I am straightening you out, when you in turn will also go out and straighten out other people, that's seemingly what he seems to be saying, then I will, my kidneys will have great joy. The kidneys always represent counsel, etzah, advice. So the part of my essence which gives advice will have great joy when you will give the same advice to others. The greatest simcha you have is not just that you accomplish something. It's that what you do, it has a grandchildren. It perpetuates. It expands. So it's one thing when the father goes and gives musa to his child. So the father is giving, I'm giving you hadracha. Very good. So the child's a good child. But the child does not go and give musa to his children. So it's short-lived. But if the advice that the father gives is taken and then is also applied to the next generation, where the child learns the same way my father gave me advice and straightened me out, I'm also going to give advice and hadracha to my children. So that is the ultimate simcha. That means the advice that I gave was transferred to the next generation. So it's the ultimate simcha. That's called the saloizna chil yosai. B'dabes v'sech, when you're living, speak me'esharim. That's what the Mitzvah term is. B'es yidabes v'sech me'esharim liyasha oid es azulas, to straighten out the next generation other people. Rashi says, B'dabes v'sech me'esharim al yidei shechocham libech, shechacham libech. I'm not sure what's coming to add. This, that your heart is wise, grants me great joy. Okay, pasik yud zayin. This is another very popular pasik. Al yikane libcha bachatoim ki im biyiras Hashem kol hayom. You should not be, kane literally means to be jealous. Do not, your heart should not be jealous of those people who are sinners, but rather you shall focus the entire day on yiras Hashem. Let's see the Mitzvah's pasuk. It says yitzayin bechatoim behatzlochas hachaitim. Do not be jealous, according to this, of the success. You witness around you people who are sinners, and you witness their success. Do not be jealous. Kiim rotzolayma rak asoy kol hayom biyiras Hashem. You shall busy yourself the entire day with yiras Shemayim. V'al teifen el hatzlochasam. Don't turn to their success. Ki shalucha toivim mishalohem. Your occupation of being oisek in yiras Shemayim, it was much greater, much more meaningful than the success that the ending that these wicked, not wicked, but people who are not in the same level are achieving. It's a very powerful idea. Now Rashi says, same idea, do not be jealous, and the jealousy should not cause you to imitate their ways to be successful. Don't do that. Instead, focus on remaining a Yorei Shamayim. Okay, now there's a very popular, there's a lot of Midrash in the middle, and this pasuk is quoted as part of a series of Psukim. The Psukim, I'll read you part of the Midrash. Let's just do, here is, let me read the shortened version in this other Sefer, because here it's a little bit too long. Here it just takes out the meat. The Divrei Chachamim, Perech Beis. Paragraph of Gimel. Okay, Bini. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, this is the Gemara Masech the Baruches. Here's the short version. I have a whole page of Midrashim that say the same thing in their various Midrashim, but here's the shortest version. Masech the Baruches. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishem Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochoi. Mutol hiskarois bereshom elam hazeh. You're allowed to provoke the evil, the rishom, in this world. Don't get carried. Obviously, you have to take it to a grain of salt. But you're allowed to go. You see rishoyim, take them on, challenge them. You're allowed to challenge, to go to war, to provoke rishoyim in this world. Shenemar pasuk later on, end of Mishlei. Oizve Torah yahalulu rasha. People who abandon Torah are praised by the wicked. The Shomrei Torah, people who are the guardians of the Torah, yiskaru bam, provoke them, take them to task, go to war with the Rishon. Ah, so the im loch shecha adam loim, a person will whisper in your ear, v'yoksiv. Don't go and provoke the Rishoyim. Don't fight with them. Just keep your distance. Just stay away. Mind your own business. It says in Tehillim, Al tischar bamereim. Al tekane bi'oisei avla. Now tischar similarly means do not join them. And it similarly means, or do not, tischar means, I'm sorry, tischar, the Gemara, we don't really know what the word means at this point yet. The Gemara means do not provoke them. Do not wage war. That's what the Gemara thinks the word means. V'al tekane bi'oisei avla. And that tekane here means not be zealous. Tekane loshnov kanoi kanisi. I kanoi. Akanai means you take up arms. You take the law into your own hands. So that's how we want to interpret the pasuk. Al tekanei ba'isay avla. Don't be a kanoi. When you see out there in the world, isay avla, wicked people, just stay away. Mind your own business. You'll never win. Don't provoke them. Do not engage. Distance yourself. Don't hurt yourself. So we have a contradiction. On the one hand, the pasuk in the Mishnah says that the shomer Torah yisgarubam, fight. Take up arms. Go fight them. And the other hand, the pasuk in Tehillim says, stay far away. Tell the person that you don't know how to read a pasuk in Tehillim. You don't know how to translate the words in Tehillim. You think when it says in the pasuk al tekane means don't be a kanoi, don't provoke them. And when it says al tesar means do not fight, that's not what it means. Emelo. The only one that would translate the pasuk in that manner is a person that is not pikoris. His heart bothers him, he doesn't want to know the truth. Ella. What you know what the translation means? Al tischar b'amareim. Tischar does not mean provoke. Tischar means don't become one of them. Like lashon of chavura, a group. Don't be part of them. When you see out there successful evil people, don't say, I want to join. I want to be part of ISIS. I want to run. I'm a passport. I'm running to Syria. I want to join. That's what it means. Al tischar liyos kimneim. And when it says al tikanei b'yosei avla, it does mean don't be zealous. It means don't be jealous. Jealousy provokes a person to act, to join. I'm jealous that he has a beautiful car. So I also want to have such a car. I also want the same thing. I'm going to go do everything I possibly can to be. Al tekanei b'yosei avla liyos k'yosei avla. And what's the proof that my interpretation is correct? This very pasuk here in Mishnah. Because the pasuk here in Mishnah says what? The Oimer, it says, Al Yikane Libcha Bachatom, which can mean two things also. Al Yikane can work. What does Yikane mean? Yikane can mean, don't be a kanoi. Al Yikane Libcha, don't be zealous. Your heart should not be zealous Bachatom, to fight. Or it could mean, Al Yikane, don't be jealous. So how do we know what the pasuk here means? From the end of the pasuk. In this pasuk, it's clear as day from the context. Ki im b'yiras Hashem kol hayom. The pasuk concludes that you shall focus on yiras Shemayim. So obviously, when it says al yikane, it means don't be jealous. Don't be jealous and imitate. But instead, from the end of the pasuk, instead dwell upon yiras Shemayim. That implies that the beginning of the pasuk means don't do the opposite. Don't be jealous and want to imitate the Rishoyim. So just like here in this pasuk, Al Yikane clearly means don't be jealous and try to imitate. Likewise in Tehillim, when it says Al Yikane b'isay avla, it means don't be jealous of them and try to imitate them, but instead distance yourself, stay far away from the Rishoyim. So the bottom line is, when this whole thing is said and done, the pasuk, everything is said and done, the pasuk is telling us that in this world, when you see Rishoyim, stay far away. Do not engage. Yeah.
See, by Pinchas,
yeah.
He did kanoes, but it wasn't milibre.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be personally involved.
Yeah.
He did it
l'shem Shemayim.
To protect the Bnei Yisrael, whatever, the Shem. So that's what I mean, al tekana libcha, when you have your own personal,
yeah, if you have a negius, you can't be a kanoi. To be a kanoi, you have to have no negius. I have nothing to gain. If you have something to gain from the situation, then you cannot be a kanoi because it's, you know, gebedover. Okay, so this is the interpretation of Maskon of this pasuk. Al yikane libcha b'chatoim. Don't be jealous. Your heart should not be jealous of the chatoim. Don't try to be like them. Kim b'yiras Hashem kol yom. The ikar is to focus on yiras Shemayim. And with that, we will conclude. I have here new handouts. Kitz Shulchan Aruch on the laws of Purim. Okay, so it's a little small. I apologize. A little bit small, but that's the best I can do. That's how it comes out of the computer. It's a bit small.
I agree with what you said about